Tell the vision to no man till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. I believe he died and was buried. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Someone asked me on Ash Wednesday whether or not Sundays count for what we give up during the week, during Lent. And I was trying to remember what we did when I was a boy. I can remember yearning for Easter the way our children today yearn for Christmas, and I can remember stockpiling my candy for Easter. But beyond that, I don't. Some of you may perhaps recall what was done. But I would say this, that since fasting is an extension, or rather giving up things is an extension or maybe a replacement for fasting, say on the part of children, and since we don't fast on Sunday, you wouldn't have to give up things on Sundays during Lent, I don't think. Because why? Every Sunday is a little celebration of our Lord's resurrection. Today, we have the resurrection prefigured in the gospel, the beautiful miracle of the transfiguration. Even as we anticipate his resurrection, what's happening there with Moses and Elias? St. Luke tells us they were talking with our Lord about his death. And I want to talk to you today about his death. But first, another question. When about the resurrection? Did you ever wonder, why is it, as our Lord himself complained, that the apostles were so slow of heart to believe? He had told them again and again, and it seemed it was, as they say, in one ear and out the other, that he would rise again the third day. And they had Moses, and they had the prophets, and they had the Psalms, in the Old Testament sacrifices and ceremonies like the Paschal Lamb, all of which would prepare them to believe, and when the time came, they seemed to have forgotten, and certainly they doubted. It wasn't until our Lord infused knowledge into them, as he did for the disciples on the way to Emmaus on Easter afternoon, or as he did when he sent the Holy Ghost at Pentecost for all of his apostles, that they were able to see the big picture and to believe clearly. There's another reason as to why they seem to have been caught by surprise, why they weren't expecting it, the resurrection. Monsignor Knox calls it the weariness of waiting. The strain of those terrible 3 days. They vaguely remembered what he said, in 3 days' time, but hope deferred makes the heart sick. And they had just about given up. 3 days was more than they could bear. Still, our Lord wanted them to wait. Why? Waiting is good for us. We Catholics spend the whole of our lives waiting. At Advent, of course, we wait for Christmas, and again Easter, we're waiting for. Now at Lent, we're waiting for Easter. But more than the purple times, the vigils, we wait for saints, of course. But I mean, the whole of our lives, we're waiting for the Master to come back. You never know what dark night he will. And at the end, of course, we're waiting for glory and for resurrection. But first must come death and burial. For our Lord, as for us. The story is told of Clovis, the king of the Franks, who founded the Christian French nation, that when he was being converted, and the bishop got to the part about died and was buried in the creed for his catechism, that the king said, "How could that be? If I had been there with my soldiers, they would never have crucified our Lord. We might smile at the innocence of that old pagan, but he has a point. How could such a thing have happened that they crucified our Lord? Not that men allowed it to happen. That's human nature for you. That's the way of the world. Politics. Indeed, had Clovis marched into Jerusalem some 4 or 5 centuries before with his troops, what would have happened? Probably Pilate would have invited him up to the palace, gotten him a drink, offered him a cigar, and said, "Look, I don't want this man's death any more than you do, but you know the Romans, and after all, it's just politics. It's nothing personal." That's how the world works. But what was extraordinary was that God should have allowed his son to die. Who is he who breathes his last on that cross? He is the Son of God. Now, God cannot die, but in his human nature, he dies. It's the divine person who is breathing forth his last there. That is a mystery. We think of Easter as the miracle of miracles. But you know, the resurrection is really the reverse. It's only the inevitable event. Anybody could have foreseen it. St. Peter says in Scripture, the pains of death could not hold our Lord. What was really remarkable is that he should have died at all, that the author of life should have been subject to death. It's a mystery, but one which helps us to understand the mystery of death in our own life. A loved one dies, and we murmur against God. Why did it have to be so? But all we know is this, that God's Son died on the cross and that his mother stood there as a mother would, praying bravely, and God allowed his Son to die. Allowed? Our Lord was not as other men. When God sends a cross to us, which he sees as best, like it or not, often he sends it in spite of our frantic efforts to avoid it. But not our Lord. He cooperated in his human will. He willed to die on the cross. Sometimes we seem to see that a little bit in people, don't we? I mean, people who seem to wait to die until a certain person comes or until a certain situation is just so. They tell the story about a great English Dominican, a writer and a preacher. Oh, this would have been in the 1930s and the 40s. And he got very sick. And his father, superior, came to see him. And he said to him, "Now, Father Bede," he said, "you must get better. We couldn't possibly spare you." And the Dominican, although he was a great intellectual, very humbly took that very seriously. And a couple of weeks later, the Father Superior visited him in the hospital, and he was in great pain. And he said to him, "Excuse me, Father, I'm so tired. Do you suppose that you could give me permission now to die?" And the Superior was mortified. He said, "Oh, dear Father, I didn't mean to say that you couldn't die if that's God's will." And he smiled, and about 30 minutes later, he died. And sometimes people do wait to die until they're given permission. I like to tell people after the last rites, it's okay to go now, you're all packed, you're ready to go. Sometimes it's good to tell people that, lest they should fear and thus perhaps linger too long in the flesh. Well, our Lord didn't. He chose to die the exact moment and the day and the place. "No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down." Our Lord died. This seems, again, one of those articles of the creed that makes perfect sense. that he should have died and been buried. That follows logically, doesn't it? There's a priest now who's dying, I think, of cancer, and pray for him. He was one of the real active priests of the resistance in the 1970s and the early 80s. His name is Father Karl Pulvermacher. And I remember he used to tell people the story that so many people at the beginning would come up to him and they would say, "What will we do when the archbishop dies?" This is a reference to the man that did so much good, Archbishop Lefebvre. He ordained the two of us to the holy priesthood. And Father Pulvermacher, with a lot of Franciscan common sense, he was a Capuchin friar, he would say, "What will we do when he dies? Well, I suppose we'll bury him, because if we don't, he'll raise a stink. Because we all have to die, and we all have to be buried, and there's an end of it." But that our Lord should have died, and that he should have been buried. The separation of soul and body, like a fish outside of water, was not meant to be. It is a punishment for our sins. But our Lord had taken our punishment upon himself at the cross. And now at 3 o'clock on Good Friday afternoon, the miracle is that our Lord did not rise instantly from the dead. Every second between Good Friday afternoon and that unknown hour of early Easter morn was a kind of a long series of miracles. The divinity stayed with our Lord's body in the sepulcher, and there were angels who were adoring God, who is present there, in a sense as he is present in our tabernacle right now today. But he stayed dead long enough to be truly buried in the earth. I think he did this for our sake, to fortify our feelings at a funeral. Regardless of how strong our faith might be, it is a little depressing to stand there at a cemetery and to see the open grave. Oh, we know it doesn't make much difference, and that at the end we're all going to rise again, but still it is so sad to stand there and to say goodbye. Our Lord takes the terror out of the tomb, though, even as he sanctifies the earth by being buried there. Even if it is our just punishment, he, as our older brother, goes first, so much as if to say, "There, there, it's not so bad. Don't be afraid. You'll see." And the other reason is this, for our Lord's burial, the business about baptism and how it works. St. Paul doesn't think of baptism as sort of washing away our sins. He likes to think of baptism as burying us along with our sins in the water, as drowning the old man so we can be a new creation in Christ. To be baptized is to come into contact with the element of water. Water, which the lesson of floods brings death as well as life, and water which our Lord sanctified by going down into it and touching it at his baptism, even as he sanctified the earth at his burial. To be baptized is then to share in our Lord's death and in his burial, so that his resurrection may be ours. Why did our Lord want to be buried? There's a last reason, I think. Our Lord wanted us to wait and to wonder. He wanted us to take the time to think it through and not to be hurried along. There's a man, a dear man in the congregation, who at just about this point in the sermon will sort of ostentatiously look at his watch so as to remind me that time for me to be sort of moving along. But actually, God doesn't work that way. For all those centuries, they were getting ready for the Messiah's coming. And our Lord didn't just come and go in 10 minutes. He was born. He spent 33 years on this earth, 3 years in his public ministry. And then our Lord suffered on the cross for 3 hours. And then he was buried for 3 days. And all that God does, he does slowly and deliberately. Look at God's dealings with his creation in science and in history. When is he hurried? Look at the majestic slowness of the priest offering the Mass. All of this is to give us time. Time to take it in. Just as the apostles needed time to take it in and to believe in his death and in his burial and in his resurrection. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.